Welcome to the Third Realm Integration Podcast, where our unconscious minds meet and the transformation begins. I am your host, Megan Kenny. Let's get started. What's crack-a-lackin' out there? How's everybody hanging? How's everybody doing? Good, I hope. I hope everybody's finding their way back to center. Coming back into a place of inner peace, flow state, peace of mind, relief. That's where I'm getting myself back to. And I always consider myself a researcher at heart, whether that's in the academic sense, the empirical sense, the anecdotal sense, or just going about researching myself and what works best for me and what conditions must be present in order for me to bring the best version of myself forward with the different hats that I wear. So, I wanted to jump on the mic today after being off. I've actually been off for a couple months, so I pre-record a lot of episodes. So this is the first episode that's coming out in a couple weeks, but I've actually been off for a couple months. So I want to bring you guys into my world a little bit, and I want to shape this conversation by putting the question out of, here's the question. What value do you place on your energy output? How valuable is your energy to you? What structure do you have for your energy output during the day? So what container do you have to hold how much energy you're putting out? And so that goes with how much energy you're receiving back in, how you're finding your way back to balance, back to center after you've expelled your energy. And that includes time. And the psychological resources that you're sharing with other people. So how you're there emotionally for people, how you're there intellectually for people. And also, what are your core values around this? What do you prioritize? What are your priorities? And these are some of the questions that came to mind as I was thinking about, you know, where I'm at right now and the way in which I am reorganizing and restructuring my day-to-day, my sixth house stuff, my everyday work routine, or just routine in general. But, you know, as a spiritual teacher and healer, I would say, even though I've done episodes before on that word healer, and it just continues to evolve for me. But for lack of a better term, I'll just use the word healer. But really, spiritual teacher. I mean, I really consider myself a spiritual teacher above all else. I do it in the space of healing, which I think takes it to a whole other level because I'm not a healer in the sense of like a body worker or somebody that's making like holistic medicines for people or apothecary or Reiki, even though I am certified in Reiki, but it's not where my passion lies. So those to me, though, people that are in that space, those are kind of like your tried and true like Palladian healers. But I feel like my purpose, my mission, my soul mission on this planet continues to get clearer and clearer for me. And I think at this stage of the game, I am very certain that what I am here to do is to bring wisdom to the people in the form of teaching them what I have discovered along the way. That takes a lot of self-reflection and a lot of research. And right now, where I'm at with that is bringing people into that space of wisdom by going into their suffering with them and teaching them how to actually transmute their own suffering. That's what I feel like I'm here to teach. So you combine the healer and you combine the teacher. You add in a lot of spirituality, and you got me. And so that's where I'm at with my whole personal and professional development, but on a soul level. And so what I've come to realize over these last couple months of being thrown out of balance and doing it intentionally. So I went into a project, I'll call it a project. It was an experiment. And I did it with the sole intention of gathering some more information about myself and about how mental health is kind of operating out there in the world. So for a couple months, I went, you know, knee deep into this space and knew what I was getting myself into. So I knew it was going to be a lot to take on. I knew that it was going to challenge me psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, and energetically, which is not something that I'm a stranger to. I mean, I tend to do this because, again, I am a seeker of wisdom, and you cannot acquire wisdom if you don't start with acquiring knowledge and then integrating that knowledge to learn something more deeply about yourself and why you're here and how it lines up with whatever you're gifting the world with. So how you're giving back to the collective based on how you continue to look at yourself and have really deep conversations with yourself. So now coming back into focus, I've gathered the information that I've needed. I've run the experiment. I've done data collection, I've interpreted the results, and now I'm going to use that data to make changes. Changes that I've needed to make for a while, but I didn't have the, it wasn't in the environment yet to be able to make the changes. So I needed the things to happen in order to make these changes. So I'll get more concrete about this as I go. But basically, what I've come to realize is that my energy is worth something. My frequency is worth something. And my vibration is worth something. Vibration just being the frequency in physical form. So as it takes matter. So my physical being is the vessel, the vibrational vessel of my frequency. Same for you, same for everybody. And I'm not just talking about monetary value. So what monetary value I'm placing on the service that I offer, although that is a big part of it. But back to what I talked about in one of the earlier episodes, or just a couple episodes ago, on the prostitute archetype, that financial gain, so the way in which you receive balance back into your life, or establish balance back into your life by receiving the monetary value for whatever the craft is that you're gifting the world with, is only going to create so much balance before it actually puts you out of balance. Because think about people that make a ton of money that are completely burnt out and miserable, and frankly can't even enjoy the money. They can't do anything good with it because all they do is work for it. So yes, it's important to know what your value is and what you bring to the table, what it requires of you to give that thing, give that service, give that whatever, and also recognize where the limit is on that. So you're not going so far that you're willing to give it all as long as you're getting like wholly and fully compensated financially on the back end. So does it make sense to work 70 hours a week and get paid $1 million a year? I mean, that $1 million might sound pretty good, but how's working 60, 70, 80 hours a week sound to you? Does that feel good? Because if it doesn't, and you're willing to take $1 million a year to totally burn yourself out, guess what archetype you're in? The prostitute. You're selling out all, you're expending all of the energy that you have and then some, which means there's none left for you. There's none left for the people in your life that you care about, that you want to spend quality time with. There's nothing left. Now, you're getting $1 million a year, but does that give you all your energy back? No, because there's only so much time in the week. There's only so much energy in your being. And so eventually that's not going to line up anymore. You do want to, though, make sure that you're very clear about what gift you're giving to the world as far as what that value is financially. So what's the cost that somebody has to pay to get access to your service, to get access to the gift that you're giving? And what value do you place on that? So it's kind of like how people will say, like, oh my God, I can't believe these people in the spiritual space are charging, you know, so much money for their service. And that, to me, says a lot about where that person who's being critical is at, because they obviously don't value what energy they're bringing to the table. They probably have some pretty complicated codependency patterns there and poor boundaries where they're not valuing themselves. Therefore, they're going to project that onto the person who does value themselves and who does recognize what the limits are of being a human being, and that we only have so much time in the day and we only have so much energy in this whole pie that makes us up. And the people that are critical of the, you know, the spiritual healers that are charging money for their service are the people who have been put on this earth to carry out a mission, which is to maintain the physical 3D system that we're all brainwashed into believing that is the end all be all. So as long as we are working hard, making money, and participating in the system, you get rewarded. You get accepted into the group. And there are disciples of that group, just like there are disciples of the spiritual space, that are there to carry out the mission. So of course they're going to have to try to tear down anybody that's stepping outside that system and doing it an entirely different way and placing value on energy rather than value on productivity. And so this is sort of like a battle of the light and dark here, right? Because we know the shadow side of the system that we're in right now is pretty, pretty hefty. We get everybody burnt out. We get everybody strapped, living paycheck to paycheck, if that. Prices have skyrocketed. People are being asked to come back to the office and work to the same degree that they were working at before the lockdowns. And most people are saying, no, not doing it. So so a lot of the people that are saying no are taking a stand, and they're coming into more of an alignment with what value they're placing on their energy output, and they're getting punished for it because they're getting fired and they're getting told they have no choice. They have to come back to the office, and they're like, you know what? Fire me. I'll figure it out. But I know one thing. I'm not going back to the way that I used to do things, which is to be a slave to the corporate system. I'm not doing that anymore because that killed me. Didn't matter how much money I was making. My mental health was suffering tremendously. I'm sitting in, you know, 4 hours of traffic a day. Add that up over the course of a week, you've lost your weekend. You're now working seven days a week. People don't want to do that anymore. So we're coming into a major shift with this. And I think people on the collective level are starting to become more conscious of what value their energy actually holds. So for me, I ran my little experiment, brought myself into a little bit of a place of, you know, inner chaos because I had lost control over my schedule. My days were incredibly long, and I lost control over how I, not full control, but I did lose some control over how I broached the therapeutic space. And I found myself almost like essentially working for a corporate company, even though that's not what it seemed like when I jumped on this particular platform. And I was unable to do the work the way that I know I need to do it in order to do it best and serve my clients in the way that I know works for me and works for them. So I also kind of lost control over the types of clients that I was drawing in and lost control over being able to refer them to providers that I thought were a better fit. So I had to go into this space of encountering my powerlessness again, because as a wounded healer, you walk a path. It's like the path of the Bodhisattva. You walk the path of being always intimately connected with your own suffering. And if you lose connection to your suffering, you will find a way to recreate it so you can get back into the mission. So you can come back into the experience of being powerless, which is your suffering, so that you can elevate to the next level by integrating that fear. So the way that I do things in my life, I am led by a higher purpose. So when I have an idea to do something where it's like, that's gonna kind of cause me a little bit of stress. But I'm like, there's some part of me that's speaking louder than the fear that says you will elevate, you will transform, and you will raise your vibration through this experience. Because I don't do anything without the inner conversations. I talk to myself constantly. I'm constantly reflecting, and I'm constantly integrating. So it's not like I'm going to sign up for something that's going to stress me out and then not integrate the lessons. No, I do it so I can get the lesson, so I can integrate it and evolve and come to a higher space. So everything, there's a method to the madness with every single thing that I do. So I have no regrets about any decision that I ever make because it's always in service to my highest good, no matter what. And that's why I don't get traumatized by the things that I do. And that's why I don't fall apart when things get tough. There's a soul stamina and there's a soul resiliency that I've built because of the way that I engage my life. And that is with deep self-conversations and deep self-reflection and, of course, integration. So I shift out of the victim state. I'm not in that space anymore. I don't say, why is this happening to me? Because I know that I consciously carry my own suffering. And so when I take on projects, I'm doing it consciously. And I'm doing it for soul practice. There are some things that I, you know, got to learn here, just like everybody else. And this is how I do it. I got to give myself the practice. I sign up for the school, whatever class I want. Well, that class is probably going to teach me this. Well, that class over there, well, that's probably going to teach me that. Which one do I want to sign up for today? And then I go for it. I sit with it in my meditation. I come to a clear space with it. I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to take this challenge on. And through the challenge comes the higher vibe. So now I'm coming back to a place where I'm integrating all of the data that I have discovered and uncovered about myself. And I'm coming back to the space where I'm saying, what is my energy worth to me? Forget about how much I'm getting paid. I'm at the point now where I have just about a full practice. I have a nice mix of different types of clients, psychologically, with motivation-wise, spiritually. Everybody's incredibly interesting. I look forward to every single session. So my soul is being fed by the quality of the work and the depth of the work. I also have a nice mix of clients that are on different pay spectrums. So people that are on a lower sliding scale who are lower income, I have a certain number of spots for those folks. I have my out-of-pocket clients. In a couple weeks, I'm going to be taking insurance-based clients. I have people in the middle. So I have a nice balance going on here that meets everybody's need and benefits me entirely because I've also cut out the middleman too. So jumping on, I'll do an episode eventually on this particular platform that I'm talking about that I was just on providing therapy, who served as this corporate middleman that took like a huge percentage of what the clients were paying, they took. And we, the therapists on that platform get paid peanuts. And that's why they have such a high, that's part of the reason why they have such a high turnover rate and why therapists leave the platform. Part of the reason why I was leaving the platform also, am leaving. And yeah, so it works out for me. So now I cut out the middleman. The client's not paying anymore, but I'm making more. And so that's the financial piece for me is set. Like we're solid. And I'm not overworking myself, which brings me to the other part. So I have found that in order for me to sustain my energy throughout the day, which is a huge value of mine, coming back to this, like, what do we prioritize and what are our values? My value as a psychotherapist is to be sure that I am checking all of my stuff at the door, that I have the time to prep for every single session ahead of time, energetically. So doing my meditation, doing my clearing, letting go of any projections that I could potentially bring into that session, doing my own integration work so I can release any hooks that might have gotten their way into my core, releasing that, having the time to be able to do that prep work so that now I can step into that session totally clear and with enough space to hold everything for me, the client, and to transition us into this third realm, which is where I am holding a level of consciousness that opens up a channel to allow my unconscious stuff, my intuition, my deeper insights that are beyond conscious reasoning to surface. And then my conscious mind holds that. Through that process, I'm able to hold the unconscious projections of the client and lift us up into this third space of imagination and inspiration, where everything's free and nobody has any answers and it's all good because we have enough steadiness, enough safety, and enough space to explore what we need to explore. And that's the deeper level of vulnerability. what I do is vulnerability work. So you need that third space to be able to support that kind of level of work, because that's pretty deep and raw, and all kinds of things will happen if that third space is not offered as the container to do that deeper vulnerability work. When people get really vulnerable, they will, that the ego is a mechanism that will turn on to cause that person to lash out, shut down, have strong reactions after they've gotten vulnerable. So when you're bringing somebody into a vulnerable space the way that I do, it, one, has to be clear that that's what we're doing up front. Otherwise, it's a psychological raping. You're taking advantage of the client, putting them into a vulnerable space without that container there. And that container has to be there in order for this to be sound work, and in order for the integration process to happen for both the therapist and the client. I can't do any of that if I'm coming into the session with all kinds of shit that belongs to me. So I got to clear all that out. So I need time and I need the space in order to create that space, because that is a value of mine that I'm bringing to the therapeutic container. Now that's a pretty big deal. Most therapists are not doing that. So when I talk about what my value is, like, yeah, I definitely need to be compensated for that level of work, because think about how deep that work is on a psychological level for me that I have to do. That heals me also, but allows me to share my gifts and allow people to transmute their own suffering in the therapeutic space. Like, so that's worth something. That's worth a lot, actually. That's worth a lot financially, and that's worth a lot spiritually. That's worth a lot energetically, because I have to use up a good amount of energy in order to make that happen. When I get to that space, and I'm now coming into that therapeutic space, I'm in a flow state. So now I'm not using up any energy at that point in the session if I can come in like that. So now we're free flowing. So the work's already been done. That's what you're paying for. You're not paying for really, truly what's going on in the session. You're paying for what I just did to be able to come into the session to create this new space with you. What we do in the session to me is just fun. That's just, I love that shit, because it's just, we're free. This is freedom. We have all this space to play and imagine and manifest and come together and connect and transform and raise the vibration. I mean, that's like, it doesn't get any better than that. Now, when I leave that session, I have to now do that same thing for the next client. But when my day is over, I'm no longer in that space. So when I go back to my like normal life, like I'm a normal person like everybody else. I'm not staying in that zen heart-centered space all day long, because I have things that I have to get done in the physical world that require a different part of me to step forward. When I'm outside of session, I'm back to being the entrepreneur. I'm working on managing a business and running systems and creating automated systems to make my job easier. I'm in the process right now of basically developing an AI assistant to handle all kinds of things for me that I now no longer have to spend time and energy doing during the week. And it's like a fully automated system. And it's like, I cannot wait for this thing to pop. It's gonna jump off in 2 weeks. I am like so thrilled about this, because I'm going to reclaim so much more of my energy, which means now I can dedicate that energy to the things that I value most. This is another reason why, though, I do not like to provide support, clinical support or therapeutic support to clients outside of session. One, you're not getting the best version of me. And when I say the best version of me, I mean the version of me that you need in order to transform. You're getting a different version of me. You're getting the version of me that's in the entrepreneurial mindset or the dog mom mindset, where I'm taking care of dogs and having to use my energy to manage them, or run errands, or grocery shop, or go to the bank, or go fill up my car, or go shopping, or whatever. So people that are reaching out to me outside the container of that session, you're not getting the same version of me, which in my opinion means you're not getting the best version of me. And you're not getting the best version of me, because in order for me to be in that physical world that I'm talking about, that my life, just like your life, requires us to be in, and simultaneously now also hold the space of that heart-centered clarity to now be able to provide you what you're looking for when you're reaching out, that holding the two takes up a crap ton of energy. And so it's a lot more work for me at that point. It's a lot harder for me to provide therapeutic support by text and email outside of session. That takes way more out of me than 7 back-to-back sessions in one day. I could do 7 back-to-back sessions in one day and end. And the only thing that like has drained my energy is me sitting in a chair for that long and like my legs being crossed or like my hips starting to get a little achy. Or my neck kind of hurting a little bit from however my chair is positioned at the screen. Otherwise, I'm full of energy. But if you're catching me and needing me to be that therapist to you while I'm out living my life, I can maybe spend 2 minutes on writing you a response and I'm like, I'm spent. Like time doesn't even matter at that point because what I've used up in just 2 minutes, you would think I just was at it for 2 hours. Also, I just don't like the idea of clients not utilizing their inner wisdom and their inner healer outside of session, which is what we're working on in session. So by the time session's over and you're now outside of that session, you should not be relying on me to help get you through whatever it is that you're dealing with. I don't offer that kind of work. That's more like a DBT, full module, like DBT model, where your therapist is like pretty much on call for you. And if a crisis hits and you got to talk it through, what you're doing is you're practicing a coping skill with that therapist. And that's what that time is focused on. It's not even focused on processing the thing. So even in the real traditional evidence-based clinical model, you don't have access to your therapist to be like, this is going on and this sucks and I hate this and what should I do? No, it's not about what you should do. What you should do is practice a skill to help you get yourself emotionally regulated. Here's how I'll guide you through the skill right now. Boom, 5 minutes, we're done. Like, so that's even the limit on that. So that's like the most you're actually even getting, even in the traditional therapy space. So it doesn't go beyond that. And so what I'm doing now is because the platform that I was just on like encouraged this like texting thing where like clients were like texting you clinical needs outside of session through this chat feature. And then you were expected to respond. And then you were getting like all of these notifications on your dashboard, like you haven't responded, like respond and check in with your clients every 3 days. It's like insanity. You're creating such a level of dependence in that client that you're not calling them to the plate for them to practice what they've been working on in session. You should not be relying on your therapist outside of session for anything. You need to figure it out. And if you can't figure it out, it means the therapy is not working. Either you're not making the most use out of it, you don't have a therapist that's bringing you to that place to develop these skills that can now be used by you outside of session, or there's some barrier here. And if that cannot be achieved, what you need to do is you need to see that therapist multiple times a week for sessions. You need to schedule another session during that week because you obviously need more support around this and more work needs to be done. And one session a week is not cutting it. That does not mean, though, that you like now try to take the session outside of the session and put it into the space of email and text and chat. And so that really is a value of mine, that the work takes place in session and in session only. And I have my reasons that I just outlined as to why that's the case. I also need to maintain my own energy. I also need to have boundaries around my work. And I need to know that when my work day is over, it's over. And I can put that client out of my mind. I can now come back and do my own self-reflection and work on whatever came up for me during that day. So I can raise awareness, integrate, and then clear. So I'm ready for the next round. And that's how you don't get burnt out as a therapist. And people wonder why therapists have the highest burnout rate of like any profession. Well, because people aren't doing this. They're feeling like they have to do all of this extra stuff that is you're doing too much. So I'm coming back to a place now where I am regaining. I'm not just regaining management and control over my energetic experience. I am feeling empowered to do it. I've always known that this is what I need to do and should do because it works best for me. But I've always kind of been like, well, but I don't know though. I don't want to be too rigid with my schedule. and say, like, I only have this window of sessions open. I really want to accommodate everybody's schedule. And I'm at the point now where it's like, no, I have to come first in order for you guys to get the best version of me, which means I have to value my energy output and I have to structure my life around that value system. So I'm transitioning out of this, like, everybody has access to me all the time and whoever calls me gets an immediate response. And I'm giving, 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 because if I just keep giving, I will be left with nothing and nobody will benefit, including myself. So you have to get really clear when you're in this space. You have to be very, 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 very clear around what value you're putting on your energetic output, how your boundaries reinforce that, and how empowered do you feel in order to stand in your authenticity, knowing that, like, it's not going to work for everybody. But frankly, it shouldn't work for everybody. If you're standing in your most authentic self should not be a good fit for everybody. You should have people that don't like it. That's how you know you're doing it right. That's how you know you're really in your full truth. And so now I'm coming back to the space where it's like, now I know what it feels like to now be empowered, to put your energy output first as your biggest priority, because it is my biggest priority. And now I'm seeing how I do that. I also have found that if I start at 8 a.m. and I end at 6 p.m. and I have several hour gaps in between clients, it's as if I'm seeing clients all day. There's no, I don't regain any energy or get a break. In fact, it uses up, I'm finding that it uses up more energy to have these gaps. So based on how many clients I have during the week, I'm now grouping everybody. I pretty much have everybody, like 25 plus people, all kind of locked into their reoccurring times during the week, which is, I didn't even intend on having that be a thing. It has just been unbelievable. It's like, it just happened. Everybody just wants the same spot. I'm like, oh my God, is this real life? This is like a dream. And so now I'm structuring it. So I have some people that need early appointments. I have some people that need late appointments, and that's not going to happen on the same day. We're going to stagger it. And we're definitely not working 5 days a week. Ideally, not even working 4 days a week. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I said it. 3 day weeks and not 12 hour days either, people. All right. I have figured out the formula and it is working for me. So that's what we're doing. And that's incredible because that leaves several other days during the week that I get to also focus on my entrepreneurial projects and my other passion projects. Building courses, doing a podcast, putting my health as a priority, which that's the other thing. You know, you got to prioritize the things that you want to improve in your life. Otherwise, nothing's going to change. So if I want to improve the quality of my health, if I want to start eating higher vibrational foods, and I know that I have to cook those foods, and I have to plan for that stuff, that has to be a priority. And how can that be a priority if I don't have energy, space, and time during the day and the week to make that a priority? If everything else is grabbing for my attention because I'm overspent and I'm dedicating too much time to one particular area of my life, it means everything else comes second. The same goes for therapy too. I expect people, when they work with me, my number one expectation is that you're going to make therapy a priority. If you can't do that because your life is just chaotic and there are a lot of other basic needs that need to be met that require your attention, it either means that now's not the right time for therapy for you, or at the very least, I'm not the right therapist for you. Because that is kind of like a baseline expectation that I have. Like, I don't waste time with clients that, like, regularly cancel, don't show up, can't commit. Like, you got to be able to commit because I'm committing and I can't work harder than you. And I can't change how much I'm committing to this because this is my sole purpose. So if you need to not commit so much to therapy, then you need to find a therapist who this isn't their sole purpose and committing to it the way that I am, because I can't lessen how committed I am to this work. And I can't work harder than you. Otherwise, that's codependency. So this is the reason why when you come into your most authentic self, it stands to reason. By default, you are not going to be the right fit for everybody, and you got to get comfortable with that. you got to really step out of this. I'm trying to appease everybody and I want everybody to like me and think I'm great. No, no, no. You need people to not like you. If you're doing it right, you need people to not like you and not be a good fit. And they need to go work with somebody else. That's just the way it is. If you were loved by everybody and everybody felt like you were the perfect fit for them, you're doing it wrong. That's just the truth. So coming into this new space of empowerment has so much to do with what value do you place on your time, energy, space, psychological resources, and output. And then this is a whole like renegotiation process that you have to come into with yourself. You also have to ask yourself, like, do I want to give any services away for free? You know, when people call me and ask for help, how much, where's the line on that for me? What feels good as far as just being helpful and pointing people in the right direction of where you think they could benefit? And like, how much like deep counseling are you providing people that are like calling you and wanting to access your support for free, right? Like, I'm at a point now where I know that limit. I am very content with providing people brief support as far as providing recommendations. Well, check out this person, check out this resource, check out this treatment program, because somebody reaches out to me in need. It's like, oh, what should I do? Well, why don't you give this a try? Explore this. Boom. That takes nothing. But if somebody's like calling me and they're like, I have this problem and I really need to figure this out and I need your help. No, I ain't your therapist. No. Unless you're going to pay me for that. I'm not your therapist. I'm not your coach. So we're not going that deep. I'll provide you some basic support that doesn't take anything out of me. But if I'm going into that suffering with you to really get to like the root of the problem and to really help you see it, that requires a contractual financial agreement between the two of us. So now I know where the line is on that. And if somebody's asking for that, somebody's asking me to go deep with them, I don't think I would say like, you have to pay me for that. I just wouldn't respond with that level of support. I would just keep it surfacey. I would just redirect by my response and provide more like of a consultation type of thing. Very brief though. So, and here's the other thing too, you guys, two other pieces that I just want to say before I wrap. One, when you come into your value and you're willing to put boundaries around that, this is where you start to manifest financial abundance. All of these manifestation meditations on how to draw in more financial abundance in your life. One, it starts with recognizing where you're already abundant. And two, it has everything to do with how you're going to protect that abundance and what your energetic boundary is around that. Because once you start valuing your energy and you put restrictions on how much access people have to that energy and how much you're giving out, you will draw in everything that you deserve. And I'm living proof of that right now. I have a thriving private practice right now. And I work 3 days a week, 6 to 7 hour days, and every other Monday for like a couple hours. And I can't explain how this all shaped out. The only thing that I can say is that because I continue to do the deep work on myself, I show up, I take on challenges, and I carry my suffering consciously, and I integrate those lessons, I somehow come into more alignment. And I am now, my outer world is reflecting the abundance that I have within. So it's huge. It's huge. The other piece too is when you start valuing yourself, what you're doing unconsciously is you're communicating a message to the people around you that it's okay for them to value themselves too. And that's a huge gift to give this society in the state that we are in right now. If you can send a message to people and unconsciously give them permission, or at least give them the key where they can turn on their own inner permission to give themselves that it is okay to value your energy, and you do not have to justify that, defend that, or explain that away to anybody. You absolutely do not have to make any apologies for that. That's pretty powerful. And so at that point, you are calling people to step into their power. And it's all because you stepped into yours by valuing what your energetic output is. You placed a value on it. You then aligned that with the actions that you take to structure your life and engage in your day-to-day. Pretty major. I mean, that's pretty friggin' major. So, I wanted to jump on and share that because, as I always do, I always speak from the inside out. So as I continue to go along my own journey, I just want to share that because, again, I'm a transmitter of wisdom. And so I'm doing that here on the airwaves today. And team Blu-ray Starseeds all day. All right. I'll talk more about that in another episode. But I'll leave it there. This episode was a little bit longer than my usual. Wow. I got into a flow a little bit with it. I just grooved on that one. I just riffed, as they say in the artistic creative art space of music. I just did a riff on that one. All right, you guys, I'm going to leave it there. I will be back with another episode probably next week. I'm thinking I want to do something on the Blu-ray Starseeds. I want to talk about a past life regression meditation that I did, which was unreal, unfreaking real. And I want to talk about Rabbi Shmuley's book from like the 90s that I'm reading right now that I've had for a very long time called 10 Conversations You Should Have With Yourself, because it's everything that I talk about. So I'm going to jump on and rip out a couple more in the next few weeks. So stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, everybody, like I always say, may the light always lead your way. Be well, everybody.
The Third Realm Integration Podcast and related content is intended to provide information and/or entertainment only and is not a substitute for mental health or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Do not delay mental health or medical consultation or substitute a mental health or medical professional's opinion because of what you heard on this show. Seek the advice of your physician or another qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a mental health or medical condition. The host of this podcast does not provide emergency support for mental health or medical issues. For questions or concerns, visit your local emergency room or contact your doctor.
Right here from Rabbi Shmuley's book, 10 Conversations You Need to Have with Yourself. We need to be on the same frequency as the soul's voice, and we are meant to attune ourselves to the whisperings of something higher.